Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
If you've been following me on Twitter, you may have noticed I'm finally doing something about my weight and my health. I decided it's time to get back to my MVP weight. So I started Awaken 180 weight loss. I'm already feeling fantastic. The best part, I'm already down 9 pounds. I could have hit the treadmill for a year and not seen the results that I've had with Awaken 180. Just like during my plan days, Awaken is all about losing weight and focusing on nutrition, coaching, and science. No pills, no gym. As you know, I travel a ton, but no worries there because Awaken 180 has a worldwide program. I can still have my weekly consults via Skype. When I'm back in Boston, I visit the Government Center location. Besides healthy living, my favorite part about Awaken is free support for life. We are all stuck at home these days, but join me and get healthy. Call the solution for weight loss. Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Get on board just as I did. Go to awaken180weightloss.com.
It is once again Red Sox Beat. We're back on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and visual content. There is no real actual content these days. We're all just kind of going theater of the mind right now. Neighborhood of make-believe, that's all we can do. We're creating some content for you. Tom Keegan is with us. He of the Boston Herald will have some insight for us on what might happen, what has happened. These are obviously very, very strange times. We'll talk a little bit later, too, to Dave Mason from Bet Online, because what do you bet on now? There are no sports. Tom, thanks for joining us. These are times that we've never seen before, hopefully never see again. Can you compare this to anything you've covered? I mean, maybe the aftermath of 9/11 a little, but I mean, how bizarre is this for you?
I can compare it to that I covered. One was in the 1989 World Series, the earthquake World Series, when the World Series interrupted for, I don't know if it was 7 or 10 days maybe, and then resumed. It was the Bay Area World Series, and I was sitting in the upper deck in the auxiliary media, and the TV monitor started swaying, and you could see smoke from beyond the outfield fence. And then I was working for, stayed after they, you know, postponed the World Series. I stayed in the Bay Area and did some stories. And then I got to the airport to fly back to L.A. I was working in L.A. at the time. And I started shaking when I sat down to wait for my plane, because that was the first moment of relaxation where I wasn't just working, thinking about it. So I delayed it all, and then it hit me all at once. And my wife said for the next month, I was shaking every night in my sleep. It was a weird effect. And you know, I watched a 30 for 30 on that World Series. We have four children. I watched a 30 for 30 that said the only Bay Area construction project in history that was ahead of schedule was the earthquake fortification of the stadium, and particularly the part right where I was sitting. So if that project had not been done, I would have been a goner. I never would have met our third son, and my daughter never would have been created. So
wow,
that was pretty crazy. And then I was working for the New York Post when the 9/11 happened.
I want to go back, if you don't mind. I don't mean to be that guy, but I'm always fascinated by anybody who was at the 89 World Series. What was your trek like back to your hotel? Did you have a hotel? I mean, was it on the 25th floor and you had to walk it? I mean, how'd that go?
Yeah, it's a great question. The trek back to the hotel to the game was, not the game. We get there early afternoon, obviously. And then the game starts hours later. But to the hotel, I want to say it was a 20-minute drive. And on the way back, it was almost 2 hours because the bridges were out. And we had to take a really circuitous route. Then I opened the door to the hotel, and it looked like my room had been ransacked because all of the drawers from the bureaus were out. The earthquake had shaken the room. It was just a very, very eerie time, and it was crazy. I remember I saw, not to get too graphic here, but I saw a finger amidst the rubble on one of the stories I was doing, which was a little tough,
Yeah, no question. Wow. So as we get from, I hate that we're just talking tragedy here off the top, but, again, these times that we're in now, you and I and a lot of our listeners, I hope, we're in a decent place. I mean, if all we're doing is complaining that we have to stay inside, I mean, good Lord, it could be so much worse than that because people are suffering so horribly right now. How do you think Major League Baseball as a whole, Tom, has done with this crisis, maybe even compared to some of the other leagues? I mean, this is the one sport that was just getting ready, right? I mean, the others were interrupted. Football was off. But, basketball and hockey are trying to figure out how to restart. Baseball hadn't even started yet. So how do you think they've handled all this? It's all very delicate.
Yeah, I think, so far, good. I mean, I don't recall anyone crying for them to stop it beforehand. There may have been one guy, Kevin Kernan of the New York Post, I think it was the only one I saw, who well ahead of time was saying, this is crazy, let's stop this. So I wasn't saying you got to stop this, so I'm not going to criticize him for that now. I do think that it'd be nice to have transparency. If a player's like Chris Sale is going to get elbow surgery, go ahead and share it and defend it. To not divulge whether he's getting the surgery seems a little bit off-putting. And I think, there are facilities where Dr. Andrews has that I don't think would be used yet. Could have already had that and admitted you had it and move on. But other than that, and a lot of these teams are paying a lot of the stadium workers for games that don't take place. So I think that's good stuff.
It's funny. We're actually recording this on Chris Sale's 31st birthday, and certainly not the kind of frivolity that is usually associated with anybody's birthday. Coming back from Tommy John surgery, and boy, you know what? It feels so good to just talk baseball, even though it's Tommy John surgery right now. But this puts the Red Sox, obviously, Tom, in such a hole long term. I want to talk short term, though, because, assuming that we do have baseball in whether it's, early June, mid-June, early July, they're going to be trying to pack a lot of games in a short amount of time. And it seems to me that the teams that'll be in the best shape are the ones that are deep, right? I mean, teams that can go 5, 6, 7 pitchers deep in a rotation. Red Sox are too deep right now, really. To me, that's a problem, right?
Yeah, that is a problem. And it just goes to show you how quickly things change in baseball. A year ago, coming into spring training, the main story seemed to be that their bullpen's in trouble because they didn't bring Kimbrel back. But that's okay because they got the best rotation in the league. Well, the bullpen ended up being okay, not great, but the rotation was a real source of difficulty. And then now you trade away David Price and Chris Sale is out for the year. And all of a sudden, wow, you got Eduardo Rodriguez who almost won 20 games. But this is a really thin rotation that is just kind of scary, actually. And you're right, when they're trying to pack in games and maybe they have doubleheaders and it's going to be the team with the deepest pitching. So that doesn't necessarily bode well for the Red Sox.
You look to last year, the times when the Red Sox rotation was thinned out. And I don't mean to pile on Mike Schworn. He's a very nice young man. But if it's the Mike Schworn All-Stars this year, you know what I'm saying, where you've got guys that, I mean, we're looking at Ryan Weber all of a sudden being like the number three guy in a rotation. This is a journeyman who throws 90 miles an hour. But, you know, to me, it's that 4, 5, 6, 7. And again, you're going to need 7 this year. This is not something I think that anybody was really talking about very recently in and around Boston. But boy, you really now can see how thin the depth in the organization was all along.
Yeah, you know, pitching has been a problem for them in terms of developing pitching. And, you know, I think a good way to go about it would be to try to just do, they can study so much with these analytics, is instead of obsessing on hitters' hot zones and cold zones and attacking their weaknesses, how about really doing a deep dive, especially now that things are shut down, what organizations have done the best drafting pitchers and developing them, and then trying to find out, do your intelligence work, who are the specific scouts who have been good at that, and then just offer to double their salaries and bring them on board and see if that works to develop pitching, because that's what you want to do, is develop pitching, because they're not as likely to get hurt as some of the older guys necessarily. So it'd be good to use this time that way. They really haven't done a good job of signing their own. Eduardo Rodriguez has been terrific, but not generally. It's been quite a while since they've developed many pitchers.
Tom Keegan visiting with us. And, you know, one theory I'd like to float your way, Tom, because I've started thinking about what this is all going to look like in 2021, 2022, when hopefully everything's kind of back to normal. We're assuming that it will be by then. But I think there's going to be a look back to right now, say, let's call it in 2022, when I think there are going to be teams that use this time organizationally so constructively, a little bit kind of like what you were just saying, where it's like, okay, everything's on pause now for 2 months. What can we do as an organization to really think things through and revolutionize if we need to? And players too. I mean, if you ever wanted to go work on a new pitch, you know, you've got a couple months now of bonus time. So, you know, you and I can sit around and say, you know what, all of a sudden I think I want to learn Italian and I don't have to work now for another month. So what a blessing. I can just, you know, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take advantage of it. Some people will not take advantage of this time. They're going to watch Judge Judy 1,000 times in a row and get, you know, 20 pounds added to their frame. They're not going to exercise and it's going to be horrible. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that this is a unique opportunity, whether you're a player or an organization, or even say, I think of a first year manager like Rojas with the Mets right now. You all of a sudden have this blank slate where the clock stopped. And there are going to be players, coaches, managers, teams that use that time really well now. And I think we'll decide who did that when we get to 2021 or 2022.
Parlo italiano. Ho abitato in Italia 40
anni. Oh, stop showing off.
Ma mi sono dimenticato tutta la lingua perché con chi posso praticare? Con nessuno.
Enough.
I don't have to learn how to speak Italian.
Well, I'm very impressed. All I know is lasagna, so that was very good.
Well, you grew up, you worked in Rochester and grew up in Rochester, so
I should know more. I know.
Yes, you should. Very Italian town, I'm proud to say, even though I'm Irish. But no, you're right. This is it's about, you got to make the most of your time, and I think that Chaim Bloom impresses me as an organizational guy. He doesn't claim to be a baseball guy. You know, he didn't play the game, but he knows how to organize and mobilize a workforce, and a very organized brain. It would be a great thing to have. I have no idea what it would be like, but I know that I envy people who do have organized brains, and they're going to have to find a way to do something productive. And you know, the least productive thing you can do is when you get together is have a bunch of yes men. You got to challenge your people. Let's look at this differently. What am I doing wrong? Be honest. What am I doing wrong? And then you're going to get something done. If everyone has the confidence to really tell the truth, that's how they're going to get something done and move forward and figure out how to develop pitchers.
One of the great things I ever heard, because I never went to business school, I'm not that guy, but Larry Lucchino, who I think is just a brilliant mind. I mean, love him or hate him, I happen to like him a lot. But I know when he was in San Diego, he used to tell people in San Diego that A's hire A's and B's hire C's, meaning that if you're comfortable and confident that you know what you're doing, you'll hire other people that know what they're doing, and everybody challenges everybody. If you're a B kind of guy, you don't want to be challenged, so you'll hire somebody slightly worse than you, a C guy. And I think that the best organizations, and I think Chaim Bloom is one of those A guys that surrounds himself with other A guys.
That's a great way to put it. That's Larry Lucchino is a sharp guy. When I was in charge of hiring as a sports editor in Kansas, my goal was to become the dumbest guy in the room. You know, that's what you want.
Hey, congratulations, by the way.
Very quick. I like it. Yeah, I'm assuming.
Oh, it's sitting right there.
Dumbest guy in the room, right? But. No, you're right. That's a great way to go about it.
Tom, if you wouldn't mind, we're going to pause you for just a moment. I'm going to bring on Dave Mason here in just a second from Bet Online, because as we talk about these challenging times, this is a challenging time for that industry for sure. So let me pivot real quick. Let's bring on Dave. So Dave Mason is the sportsbook brand manager for our good friends at Bet Online. And as we all kind of trudge through this new, weird, sad frontier here late March, early April, a lot of industries obviously are making adjustments. And I guess it's how quickly you can pivot to whatever you got to do. That's where there will be some wins here. So for Bet Online, I'm fascinated to find out what's current, not necessarily what's next forever for them, but just what they're doing now. Dave, thanks so much for joining. And can you enlighten me just a little bit? I mean, these things, I mean, all these sports that you guys are so great at giving us, just one by one, they were falling down. And XFL was probably about the last thing standing. And then there was, you know, none of that. Lawn bowling is, you know, I mean, I think it might still be around. I don't even know. So what do you guys do now?
Yeah, it's been a crazy few weeks. You know, our bread and butter is the U.S. sports. You know, right here, we should be talking about the Final Four in a few days, right? The last few weeks of the NBA and NHL regular season as the teams push for the playoffs. And, of course, the start of the MLB season. And none of that's there. So it's uncharted waters for both the sports fan and for us. So what happened? You know, we right away, we went into kind of emergency mode and said, what the heck can we do? First and foremost, we have a huge poker room and a huge casino. So the action over there is absolutely through the roof. We're setting records over there. So we're lucky for that. So yes, we have a sports book. Action's going down there, but a lot of people are taking their action into the casino and poker room. So action's through the roof there. So that was the first thing. Secondly, what can we do in the sports book? Well, we started looking at what sites are doing around the world. Is there any leagues still out there? And there were. A couple of weeks ago, there was some Australian this, some Australian that. Russia, they're still playing some sports over there. They got still playing some hockey and ping pong, table tennis. I keep calling it ping pong, but I guess it's table tennis is the official. So we put odds up on that. We saw some Russian sports book across the globe had odds on this. So I said, what the heck? Let's put these odds up. And sure as hell, people are betting the heck out of it. I mean, it's amazing. You know, it's like, I thought we'd take a few bets. Okay. But I mean, the action we're getting on that is huge. And then other stuff, you know, like last week was that, you know, NFL free agency, odds on where Tom Brady would go. And, you know, and then he goes to the Buccaneers and you start taking a lot of action on the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl and all sorts of stuff. It's something as silly as a marble races. There's this guy who does these really intricate and impressive marble races over in Europe. So we start putting odds on that and he shows it on his YouTube channel. So you name it, we're just trying everything. So, you know, we're learning a lot. You know, it is a crazy time and it's a sad time, but you know, people gamble for a release, for entertainment, so we're trying to do our best to keep them entertained during these difficult times.
what do futures look like right now? Because, you know, we don't know, for example, how many games there will be in a major league season, if there will be a major league season. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, well, it depends. You know, season win totals, they're all closed now. We just don't know if they're playing, how many games they're going to play. I doubt they're going to play 162 or anything close. So how can we offer a season win total? If they came out and said, okay, it's going to be a 100-game season, then we can adjust those. So they're all closed now. But for, you know, as long as they're World Series, if it doesn't matter if the season's 162 games or 62 games. If there's a World Series, if they're crowning a World Series champ, then these odds stay. I mean, the bets are good. Same with division and all that stuff. So yeah, it depends. If it's based on a number of games, yeah, there's going to be no action like the season win totals or some season-long props. You know, there were some over-under home runs and stuff. Those all get no action. But the World Series and stuff, as long as we have a season and as long as there's a World Series, those bets are good.
So the whole necessity is the mother of invention, bromide. I mean, I think that's probably in play now. Do you find that you're getting calls, whether solicited or unsolicited, from people going, hey, you know what would be awesome? I'd like to bet on the weather. I'd like to bet on barometric pressure. I'd like to, I mean, or people now, even maybe inside the organization. I mean, is everybody getting weirdly creative because of all this?
Yeah, and absolutely. You know, we have this nonstop email threads and different stuff. Hey, this is trending on Twitter. We need odds on this. Did you see these guys are doing this simulated game? We need odds on this. You know, and of course the fans too. Guys just hit me up on Twitter about some reality show on MTV that I know nothing about. So we're gonna hey, let's look into that. So it's. That's, you know, if there's a positive out of this whole event, and I'm just talking from a, you know, strictly from a professional standpoint, you know, because there is no really positives from any of this stuff, but from a strictly professional standpoint, it's we're looking at different stuff. You know, we're outside our normal box of, you know, we always test the limits at BetOnline. We always try to put as much stuff as possible. But now we're like in overdrive. And I think a lot of this stuff is going to stick and be here for years to come, like these simulated games. I mean, I think even when the sports do come back, there's going to be a space for these simulated games and all sorts of other crazy stuff we're doing. I mean, these iRacing, I've been watching these NASCAR iRacing events over the weekends, and it's quite impressive. I mean, I've never been a big NASCAR guy. I don't even know if I've ever watched a full race, but I've been watching these things, and it's really pretty cool. You know, these NASCAR drivers, Dale Earnhardt and all these other guys, are really playing this simulated iRacing game, and it's aired on FS1. That the production's just incredible, and I think we're going to see more sports doing stuff like that as the longer this lasts, and we'll keep adding odds, and I have a feeling stuff like that's just going to be will be commonplace in years to come.
Well, the good news, if there is any out of this, is you guys have always been so creative anyway and so easy to work with. So you guys aren't going anywhere, and that's great. But, yeah, now we all get to at least kind of think outside the box for a while and see what else we can all figure out. But continued, I would say, success to you, because I know you guys are still successful at what you do. It's just such a weird time to be happy about things, but you can definitely... You can definitely still get your bet online on, though, because we just want to make sure people knew that. And Dave, before you go, in 20 or 30 seconds, last thing you just want to tell our listeners.
No, come on over. You want some action, get you through the evening since there's no sports or anything, but you need to be entertained, get on over to betonline.ag. Once again, we're making the best of it in the sports book. There's still a lot to do, but, you know, we got that big casino, both a digital casino and a live dealer casino where real dealers are handing out the cards or spinning the roulette wheel for you. And, of course, the poker room, Bad Beat Jackpots, well over $100,000. We've got bigger tournaments, more players than ever. So come on over and get on some action.
Boom. Thank you, brother. Sounds good.
Thank you, sir. Have a great one.
Thanks, buddy. Keep at it. See ya. All right, thanks again to Dave for joining us. Let's go right back to Tom Keegan and the time that we have left. We're talking about what is next, because we don't know. I mean, it's just all about guessing right now. So here it is. End of March is when we're taping this, Tommy. What's your best guess right now? I mean, if we were playing that, you know, kind of like guess the date of somebody's kid being born game, when do you think opening day is here in 2020?
This will show you how fluid this whole situation is. If you had asked me this yesterday, I would have said after the All-Star break. In other words, no All-Star game, but where that schedule resumes after the All-Star break, that's what I would have said. And then today I saw the governor of Virginia put down a shutter-in-place order that extends through June 10th. So that's just one area of the country. Well, what if other areas end up having one that goes through July 11th or something? My prediction now would be no season. And I know that's a bleak prediction, but that's what I'm saying now, because I just keep thinking that the further these deadlines get pushed back and the more contagious this disease is, I just think that if I had to guess one thing, I'd say no season.
Well, all right, so let me try to be Mr. Sunny Sunshine just to rebut that. What if, and it's all what ifs right now, but what if there are a couple of reasonably clear zones? So let's say that, I know Florida might not be one because those spring breakers were just ridiculously stupid, but let's say that there's a domed stadium in Tampa where, you know, you could hold basically, you know, three games a day, four games a day. And Arizona opens up and, you know, let's find three or four spots in the country where you basically take, you know, you know, one eighth of the teams you go here, another eighth of the teams you go here. I know it's bizarre and I know it's not ideal, but couldn't you have some sort of like in a bubble kind of season in the places that aren't as affected if you needed to? I mean, can we think outside the box a little just to save it?
Well, Tampa can't draw, as an example, let's just say Tampa can't draw fans for their own team, which has been very good recently. How are they going to draw any fans?
All right, well, let's say no fans at all. Let's say that everybody is still, you know, walking around, possibly contagious, and it's still kind of like what we anticipated some of the tournaments in basketball to be like in mid-March. They say, okay, it's only essential personnel, no fans allowed. We're going to have a fanless 2020 played at 4 to 6 venues, going to be 110 games, and some weird postseason thing that we never considered before. Would they press forward with all of that or just say the hell with it? I just don't know what they say the hell with it, because there's just so much money to be lost TV-wise.
Well, but there'd also be money to be lost if you're playing games without fans and you're still paying the players the salary. Whereas if you shut it down now, you know, you're getting the salary amount you're going to lose for the whole roster is something like $12 million is all, I think, because they're only getting $300 apiece, I think. And then also, I wonder if these TV deals have insurance that says if there is a total shutdown for health emergency or for some other sort of emergency, we as the underwriter here will reimburse you for 60% of the TV or whatever. Those are the things I'd like to see, is those insurance contracts and stuff, because in the end, it will come down to two things: public safety and safety of the athletes, and money. And so without knowing what kind of insurance they have, if they do wipe out the season, because I saw Jay Billis just very briefly touched on this. He said he'd like the NCAA to show the insurance contracts, which they won't, because the wording may be, if you alter the tournament, we won't pay you a dime. If you have to completely cancel it for these emergencies, we pay you X amount. So I think that would be a good question to try to find an answer to.
That's very interesting and I think very important for sure. Hey, before I let you go, let's play a little what if just to cheer ourselves up. What if we had contained coronavirus like we probably should have a long time ago? Or what if it had never been a thing? What if, you know, COVID-18, that was it. There was no COVID-19. What do you think the Red Sox season in its basic, normal, unfettered construct would have been this year? What were they getting prepared to be?
Well, I think that there'd be serious problems with the rotation. When you look at Eduardo Rodriguez, great. But behind him, you've got Evaldi, Perez. Ryan Weber came really prepared and was doing well. But he's not somebody you think of as a number four starter. Bullpen, I think, probably would have been pretty good. There's a lot of good arms out there. I liked Renicki's approach. I think he had some good ideas and wasn't afraid to talk about them. The lineup, you subtract Mookie Betts, that hurts you defensively, hurts you offensively, it hurts you every way. But I still think they would have scored a lot of runs. And one concern for me is Javier Vasquez as a catcher. He's become an offensive force, at least he was last year. But and he's got a good arm, a good throwing arm. People don't steal much anymore. But I wonder about him calling a game and getting in that rhythm and having a real feel for that kind of stuff. And I think that stuff can be important. And I'm just not a huge believer in him as a handler of a pitching staff. So I think they would have had a real uphill battle. A million things would have had to fall into place for them to win the division.
All right, last thing I've got for you. I'm actually going to pimp something out that I'm very proud of, and I want you to check it out and tell me what you think about it, because I'm staying busy on a different podcast besides this one. Put together this thing called the Throwback League, and actually it put it together before we'd ever heard of coronavirus. So, you know, it's kind of weird that it's now become kind of the only game in town, and I'm glad that there is content out there. But the concept, Tommy, was to take the 32 World Series winners from our generation, basically, when we look at nostalgia, and I've talked kind of mid-70s to mid-00s, put some of the at-large field together to make a 48-team bracket, just like the NIT, I guess, because 64 would be true March Madness. But so it's 16 World Series losers from that swath, 32 World Series winners from that swath, and just basically went into the laboratory, did the seedings, matched them up, ran simulations to see, you know, what the game would actually be if it was, say, the 74 A's against the 92 Braves. Take that play-by-play into a studio, record it like I was actually the announcer, mix in some sound effects, and boom, you've got March Madness with World Series teams. So this thing is maybe 5 or 6 games in, and I'm just curious because I already know who wins this thing. I'm the producer of it, so if it's the Bachelorette, I know who got the rose, right? So, but nobody else does, and because you've seen so much baseball and all these teams, if you didn't cover them, you know, you grew up watching them anyway. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 75 Red Sox are in there, for example. Big Red Machine is in there. So if the time period we're talking about is 74 through 06, and again, the Throwback League is the name of the pod if you guys want to go find it, give me a little off the top of your head. Who do you think makes it to the finals out of those World Series teams and runners-up?
You know, it's funny. I used to do this with teams when I was a kid in Stratomatic, but that was 27 Yankees, 55 Dodgers, and like that. But the Big Red Machine, too. Well, I think that a lot of people would say the Big Red Machine. I'm going to say no, because the pitching depth beyond Don Gullett and Wayne Simpson wasn't really a great deep pitching staff. So I'm going to say no on them, even though they're the gut first one you would think about. I think that the Braves team that won the World Series was that 95.
That was 95, yeah,
that's a sleeper team for me. How far back do you go? Do you go to
74. So the swinging A's of 74, they kind of lead it off. And it ends with the 06. Was that the Cardinals in 06 or the Tigers? I can't even remember now.
In 06. I can't even remember. I can tell you 68.
I can tell you 7 for sure. Yeah, but
yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, that's the swap, 74 to 06.
Okay, so not the 71 Pirates. I'm going to say the 86 Mets, and the 1996 Yankees would be tough with Rivera was the setup man to Wetland, and they had a stacked lineup. I think that team in the 86 Mets was the fun, love, and wild bunch that had a little bit of everything on that team. Gooden and Doc and Keith Hernandez. So those are a few that come right to mind. And I'll tell you another one, the 2018 Red Sox.
Well, but that too far. You went too far off the grid. Because again, 06 is the
06 point. Right.
Yeah. But no, but those are good thoughts, though. I'm not going to tell you which one is right, which one is wrong, but you're definitely sniffing around the perimeter of correct on these guests here. So, hey, Tommy, stay safe, and obviously we'll do this again when hopefully there is actual baseball going on. But in the interim, totally appreciate you, and we'll do this again soon.
I appreciate it. I enjoyed it, Josh. Thanks.
All right. Red Sox beat, Tom Keegan, our guest. Talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye.